This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Good morning, America. How are you?
And now, from the studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense, the only show dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America, class is now in session. Right here, right now. Let's welcome this week's host.
Taking down monuments we've seen in a number of locations, St. Louis, Charlottesville, Virginia, New Orleans, any number of locations. But so in the time of being politically correct, now there's a movement to go other directions, and one of the directions being headed is over Christopher Columbus, who discovered America. Columbus, according to some, came in and was killed Indians and went to battle. What do you know about Christopher Columbus, Leo?
All I know is that Christopher Columbus, if he had taken a right when he got to San Salvador, then North America would have been Spanish. But instead, he took a left, and so that's why South America is Spanish and Portuguese.
Well, in any event, Columbus is coming under attack in some areas. And I want to get a view about Columbus, a fair view, and put this in perspective. There's a very strong Italian organization, Columbus being Italian, Italian-American One Voice Coalition. And the person who heads up this group, he's an executive board member, who's joining us on the show here right now, is called Andre Domino. Hey, Andre. Greg, glad you joined us today.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Help puts in perspective. We're a little leery about the whole monument debate, Andre, if you will. You can have a monument can be just to kind of remember the past, or it can be a symbol of how we go into the future. And our attitude down here to a lot of people that I know is that it's just a remembrance of an event that happened. But now Columbus is being brought into the mix, and I see that the mayor of New York has proposed renaming Columbus Circle up there right now, one of the grand circles you drive around New York City. How much are you hearing about an assault on Columbus going on right now across the country?
Well, it actually is. It's a tremendous assault. You're right about New York City. That statue was a gift from the Italian Americans back in the late 1800s. It was donated by the nickels, dimes, and dollars of Italian Americans at that time, which were discriminated against, and there was the largest lynching ever of Italian Americans. And in order to show their patriotism, they dedicated that statue. So that's an important symbol. But, you know, just like they're attacking all the Confederate statues around the country, we now have a very disgraceful, disgusting video from Antifa where they're calling for attacks on all Columbus statues tomorrow, Columbus Day. So we're notifying police departments across the country about this latest thuggery that's happening by these groups that are coming after us. And unfortunately, you know, Columbus Day, although it's celebrated by Italian Americans, it's actually an American holiday. You said Columbus discovered America. Well, actually, he didn't really discover it, but what he did was, after Columbus, it opened up the great migration that connected the world together. And that's why we should all celebrate that.
Now, in Columbus Day, where do you actually live, Andre?
I live in New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Well, does New York City still have that marvelous Italian Day parade that goes up Fifth Avenue? Is that still on for tomorrow?
Absolutely. That's the largest parade in the country, the Columbus Day Parade that goes down Fifth Avenue. It's a tremendous celebrated event. Unfortunately, this year we're told that there may be some violence at the parade, and we certainly hope not.
I remember it came up by Central Park, and I had the great honor of being invited by a friend to go up, and of course, Rudy Giuliani and all the politicians are there, but I got a ticket, sit under a little reviewing stand. Pavarotti, the marvelous opera singer, sat right in front of me, and right in back of me was Sophia Loren. And
wow.
My wife was just mesmerized, and then I remember there was a wonderful Sophia Loren,
who wouldn't?
Yeah, huge dinner at the Waldorf Astoria at the time, a huge banquet with all prominent Italian Americans. Anyway, it's really a very special event. In New Orleans, down where we are located here, Andre, we have a huge Italian American population. They'll have a large parade down there too. But I think you summed it up right, because as I said starting the show, I think there's a difference between monuments and memorials. And you know, you can't push your history aside, and especially an icon like Columbus. What do you think de Blasio, the mayor of New York, is coming from? What's the impetus for him to take on the Italian-American community? It seems like it's bad politics and it's not the right thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's the hyper-accelerated political correctness and kowtowing to various groups and so forth that's just getting absolutely ridiculous now. And that's all I think he's doing. He's just, going after these groups. And, you know, I enjoy coming down to New Orleans. You know, you have a large Sicilian-American population there. And for myself, both my parents came from Sicily. And although they're from Italy and I'm proud of my Italian heritage, I'm an American first. And that's what my parents instilled in me. And I think that's what's strongest among all Italian Americans. We're not looking for anything different. We just want to be treated the same. And certainly don't target Columbus or Columbus Day. That's not only for Italian Americans, but for all Americans.
Well, I hope that's point made. And I don't see I'm down here in the South where we broadcast from, and throughout most of my listeners are in small town America. We've got a lot of small stations coast to coast. I don't sense a big momentum going on like you saw, say, against Robert E. Lee or Jefferson Davis because of the African American, the whole slavery issue. And you don't see that concentration with Columbus. And by the way, with Columbus, you know, I did a little reading about Columbus, knowing this day was coming up, and he was a wonderful explorer, but he didn't go around patting himself on the back so much. And Amerigo Vespucci comes in and kind of writes articles and books and pats himself on the back, and we really ought to be, instead of America, we almost ought to be Columbia, shouldn't we?
That's very true, yes. The only Amerigo Vespucci got his name on the country, but certainly Columbus is honored throughout the country with cities, schools, streets, all named after Columbus, a lot of organizations. So there is an impact from Columbus that's throughout the country, and it is a proud part of our world history, actually, that occurred.
Well, it really is. This is Leo. I'm fascinated by Columbus's history, the four voyages that he made into the New World, and then most people don't realize that he was absolutely basically kicked by the monarchy in Spain, because
right.
I don't think they thought he was going to come back, and so they wound up in a lawsuit that outlived him, and his son wound up finally settling with a monarchy.
Well, that's right. In fact, he was even imprisoned when he came back. You know, that was extremely controversial. And you're talking about more than five centuries ago. It was very trying times. But yet he had the courage to go out and do these voyages and literally connected the worlds together. And that's why we have the world we have today.
Andre, you said you're a Sicilian Italian. Is that the right way to say it? If you're from Sicily, do you say you're Sicilian? What is your background? How do you say that? Am I Sicilian American?
We all say we're Italian Americans, but you've got to remember that Italy is a younger country than the United States, so there's still a lot of regionalism. So therefore, there's a lot of people that will say I'm from Sicily or Calabria and so forth, and I'm first generation, so I'm very well connected because both my parents came from Sicily, but I consider myself an American first with that Italian heritage behind me.
Have you been to Sicily?
Oh, yes, many times. I've been throughout Italy, actually.
I've never been to Sicily. I've been throughout other parts of Italy, but I've got a close friend I've done some traveling with who says that of all the trips he's made, he loves Sicily more than any other place he's traveled to, with the food and the ambiance and the atmosphere. And so that's high on my list in the next year or so. I'd like to make it over to Sicily, Andre.
I'm sure you enjoy it. It's like having all the great things of Italy on a tropical island with a big mountain in the middle.
Are you gonna be in a parade tomorrow?
I sure will. Absolutely. Having a great time on our big holiday, Columbus Day.
Well, that's super. Well, listen, thanks for spending some time with us, and I appreciate you clarifying that. You're a CEO of a medical devices company, aren't you?
Yep. I run ADM Tronics. We've got a great group of employees that develop cutting-edge medical electronics.
Well, that's super. Well, thanks for being on with us today. Hope we can have you back again. Have a great day tomorrow, Andre. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Leo. Take care.
Thank you.
Columbus Day tomorrow. Hey, Jim Brown and Leo Honeycutt. Our website's radiocommonsense.com, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Join the club. That's the Cajun Mike Cooking Club for only $9.95 per month. You'll learn how to cook Cajun. Just think, iconic, authentic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and red beans and rice from a real New Orleans Cajun. Cajun Mike will also reveal other secret family recipes that up until now have never been revealed to the public. As a VIP member, you'll receive a couple of authentic Cajun and Creole recipes a month, a step-by-step instruction video, access to our weekly conference calls where you can ask Cajun Mike any question or comment about the recipe. Did I also mention about our product discounts? That's only available to our VIP members. So what are you waiting for? To become a Cajun Mike Cooking Club member, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. Or call Cajun Mike at 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. 855-785-0222. Cookingwithcajun.com. Cajun, right at your doorstep.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're back here with Leo Honeycutt on the Common Sense Show. Having a good show today. Hope things are going well with all you folks. Columbus Day tomorrow, big holiday weekend. Is that an official holiday? I think the post office is open tomorrow. I don't think it's...
banks, everything's open.
Okay, you know, that's one of the big official holidays. The founder of our country, who been very controversial in the news, not so much around the rest of the country, but in New York. But I don't think they're going to... change the names of Columbus, Ohio, and Columbus, Georgia, and do away with Columbus just because he had a run in with a few Indians.
And why is that? I mean, I understand the plight of the Native Americans, I do. But when you go back and you look at the history, people would just bother looking up the history and reading the facts. You'd understand that the reason why Columbus called them the Indians basically was to invoke a contract he had with King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. If he had not written in his log in October of 1492, that he had found the Indians, then he couldn't say that was India. His goal was to reach India, right, to find a new trade route. Well, by him writing in the log that he had found the Indians, that invoked, that said, okay, now give me the money.
Give me the money I'm owed, right?
I did what I said I was going to do.
Well, you don't know exactly what happened about who attacked who. He supposedly wiped out a number of Indian tribes. Well, did they attack Columbus's men? He didn't have a big entourage with him. He only had three ships initially that made that crossing. And so they did have gunpowder and weapons like that that could fire, but you don't know all the details as to exactly what caused that flow and didn't put a stain on his reputation. But I'm sure there were some confrontations in a wild and woolly place like primitive America, where there were some battles and a number of people died.
And what's now San Salvador, which is where he came ashore the first time, he didn't really do all that. There was no confrontation. There was this healthy give and take between the Native Americans there, the natives that were on that island, and him, because they were both fascinated with each other. You know, they saw these men dressed strangely that came in off this big boat, and the men saw these people in more of a primitive atmosphere. They became friends, and it was only up until the 1600s, and then they had the Roanoke colony at Virginia, where the Indians, or I say Indians because that's what we call them, Native Americans, basically got together in tribes. Now, understand, these tribes have been killing each other because they wanted the territory. So when they saw these Europeans come in, they said, wait a minute, these people are not coming here for vacation. I think they're coming here to stay. And so that's when people started saying, wait a minute, these tribes started saying, wait, this is our land.
That's right. You can imagine the tension that was built, and it carried on out west. You know, you see these motion pictures of the confrontations with Indians. I mean, vast territory of millions and millions of acres. There weren't that many troops going out there, and there weren't that many Indians. But boy, you thought that they were all fighting over 1 acre in downtown New York City with Custer and all of the confrontations that went on out west over all that period of time. Fascinating the stories of the old west. And, excuse me, Leo.
Sorry.
Isn't it interesting how the legends of the Old West, not just in America but throughout the world, have carried on? The gunslingers and the romanticism of all that took place out west has been a staple in movies and in American literature for hundreds, for several hundred years now.
And of all people who made his name off those movies, John Wayne. And later in his life, he came back and said, we need to tell more of a truer story. So some of his later films were more about the real plight of Native Americans as opposed to just categorizing them as the enemy.
And you see, I'll tell you what, my favorite movie channel is probably that Ted Turner channel, where they play
Turner
a lot
classics.
Of those old movies,
yeah.
The classics, where they play a lot of those old movies. Just fascinating. Let me jump to this I thought was interesting. I read this in the Wall Street Journal about Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We've got a lot of listeners in southern and western Pennsylvania on our radio show, Leo. And Pittsburgh has become very active in making their airport user-friendly. First of all, they're encouraging people to bring the kids out to the airport for the day. You know, ride the little cars that go around, and they've got kids facilities and museums and good restaurants. And you could also get a day pass if you wanted your loved ones getting on the plane. You know, you pretty much have to leave them at the curb where you can get a day pass, and you get kind of like TSA approved, and you can walk right in with them and actually put them to the front door of the plane. You know, if you've got kids or some other loved ones, rather than just sitting there for an hour and a half or 2 hours waiting for their plane, Pittsburgh says, well, that's crazy. Let's find a way to protect security, but let's also find a way to make us more family and user-friendly for the airport. And I like that. Kudos to Pittsburgh for making their airport more user-friendly and letting, because I don't like when I put my kids and grandkids on a plane. I like to go in there, and if they're going to sit there for an hour and a half just waiting for the plane, I like to be there with them.
Right.
And so they do a great job with Pittsburgh.
That's a tough call, though, because security being what it is now, geez. You know,
you've got to be pre-approved to do that, though.
Yeah.
You've got to be pre-approved. You can get a day pass. You have to go in and give your driver's license and give a lot of information. They have no problem with it in Pittsburgh at all. They say it's been a huge success. And,
well, it's a lot more fun for the people leaving, too, because you're just stuck there for over an hour waiting for your plane to – waiting for the gate to open and for your plane to leave, and you sit there just, you know, there's nobody to talk to, that kind of thing.
Wall Street Journal says you can go there Mondays through Fridays between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., request a special desk, and request a complimentary day pass. Pass holders have to go through the same screening process as ticketed passengers do. And if you're on a no-fly list, you don't get in. So they do the same security. So nobody's complained about security in Pittsburgh.
But, you know, the parking is always the deal. The parking is what is a big problem. And when we were living in Denver, if you could go in and pick up your people or drop them off or pick them up within 30 minutes, you didn't pay anything at the parking garage. But if you were at 31, you got charged $5. And you'd be surprised at how fast people were going through.
Oh, yeah. That is a logistical problem in so many airports where you want to go pick somebody up that's driving in, and you can't get close to the airport. Now, I like the idea of going in. You usually have a call lot where you pull into the lot, and then when your loved one or whoever you're picking up gets off the plane, right there as you get off the plane, they call you and say, hey, I should be there in 15 minutes. That is a logistical problem. You know, you go into a big city like New York, it's a
nightmare.
Let's assume you've got someone that comes in. Let's assume you've got an Uber car or something. Well, they show you your name, and you got to walk up half a mile with your luggage with a person. So we haven't seemed to gut down our transportation system very right. I'm a train guy. I was raised on the train. I'm a train brat. My dad was the railroad. I crisscrossed the country in the trains.
Really?
No problems with anything like that. You got your luggage right in the train, sit down in the dining car, had a bite, saw America as you went across the trains.
Really?
You do that in Europe to today.
Wow.
And I wish we could do it then. Hate to tell you this, I had a free pass on the road because my dad was with the railroad. They gave me a free pass. I used to send my shirts home from North Carolina to St. Louis for my mother to do my shirts.
You are spoiled. Jim Brown, you were spoiled.
My wife brings that up all the time. I can't get over it. I sent my shirts home 1,000 miles to let my mama do my shirts, and she did a great job in those shirts, Leo.
Good Lord.
Jim Brown, the Common Sense Show with Leo Honeycutt. Our website is RadioCommonSense.com. Leo's website is
LeoHoneycutt.net.
Okay, LeoHoneycutt.net. We're going to come back and talk about restaurants, good food, how much you tip, freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his
field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor, Michael King, today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HomeTalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HomeTalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
For P150, P150 GA, P150 NY, P150 OK, P150 TN, C250 A, C250 E, C250 Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-6540. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-6540. That's 1-800-972-6540. 1-800-972-6540.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
If you live in our part of the country where Leo and I live, you love to eat, and we like fine restaurants. One of the finest in the country is Chamberlain's Steak and Chop House in Dallas. There is a series of restaurants over there by our buddy Richard Chamberlain, who's been a guest on our show on several occasions. I got some restaurant questions, some tipping questions, just a variety of things. Just plus, I like to check in with Richard from time to time. Hey, Richard, how you doing today?
Hey, doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, always glad to have you on to talk a little bit about good food and food trends, that kind of thing. I saw a story on one of our publications about tipping. And since you have obviously tipping is a big deal to you and your employees and your series of restaurants you have over there, I noticed that really in the Northeast, where New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, they don't tip as much over there as as actually they do in a number of southern states. For example, New York City tips about 15%. Texas, where you are, I think on my list, shows about 16.6%. Louisiana, we're up about 17% in the tipping. How do you determine, what is the rule of thumb on tipping today if you had to advise someone in a moderate to better restaurant, Richard, in terms of the kind of tip you ought to leave?
Well, absolutely, yeah. We, you know, our I have about 100 employees, and of those 100 employees, 60 are waiters, so I hear a lot about tipping. And generally in our area, and it can be regional, like mentioned, around the country, and also international, there's different rules internationally for tipping. You know, like in Europe, there's very little tipping that happens at restaurants and things like that. So, but in our area, 15 to 20% would be considered the norm. And when I say 20%, I really say 20 plus, because when people receive really, really high-end good service, they're not shy about leaving upwards of 22 to 25% sometimes. But it's really all over the board, and it's really based on, you know, what you feel like is appropriate for, you know, this person, and were they friendly? Were they nice? Did they smile? Did they really take care of your needs? Whether it was a special occasion or special instructions for a birthday or an anniversary, did they really fulfill what you wanted out of the evening? And if so, you know, people, it's unlimited what people will leave.
Well, and I think you make a good point about service. I know I happen to be kind of a particular, very particular. I like extra lemon slices.
Amen to that, brother. I eat with this guy all the time, and he's always like, get this and get that. Jim, just order the entree.
No, but I don't want to. I will leave a good tip if I get good service. I want a little side plate of about 6 or 7 lemon slices. I like to put the lemon on everything. I like to have an extra napkin because someone, Richard, and I'm sure your restaurant, I assume you got tablecloths in your restaurants, don't you? But, I don't want to have someone take some synthetic soap powder or something wiping my table, then my food go down on that. So
you're
high
maintenance. You know that?
What?
You're high maintenance.
Well, I am. But I'll leave a good tip because of it. Just what Richard is saying right here. I'll leave a good tip for being high maintenance. But if someone doesn't accommodate me, then I'm not going to do so. So, Richard,
Is there anything better? You know, you're a guy that likes some sliced lemon, and if you go back to the same restaurant and that same server comes up and she remembers you or he remembers you from the last time, and before you even ask for it, those sliced lemons are brought. I mean, that's what you're looking for, right?
I certainly agree with you.
They're actually at the door going, oh, here comes Jim Brown again.
Richard, you got 60 waiters, so I'm sure you talk to them about these various things, don't you, about getting the tip up and how you respond to your guests that you have, your diners, and what do you tell them to encourage them to be a big smile, look them in the eye, show extra concern? What do you tell them?
Well, here's the thing. We on your point, we study tips. We every week we do an analysis of what average tip each waiter got, because in the end, that's what's telling us how happy the guests were. And so we look at this every week at our managers' meetings, and we look at, you know, how did John do compared to Ashley this week in average tip. And so, you know, they're really in competition to see who can get the highest, obviously without asking for a higher tip, because that's not allowed. But you know, it starts with the very beginning. There's really three phases, and I'll go over those three phases where people really kind of determine in their mind what that tip is going to be. It starts with when you sit down. For example, when you go in, and if somebody knows you like that lemon, did that lemon arrive? Or did my iced tea arrive? Or did my glass of Merlot arrive because they remembered that I liked that? Did everything in the beginning of the meal happen in a reasonable amount of time to sort of get it all started? That's what people really, really look for. They want that. They want somebody to come up and greet them pleasantly. They want somebody to get whatever they want in an efficient way and have it delivered so that they can kind of get the whole evening going. If that's happening, they're feeling good. Then there's the middle part of that, where really it's the balance of the courses of food. So if you're having a salad and a steak and a dessert in my restaurant, were there big gaps, you know, in that service? Did I have to wait a long time for my salad or my steak? And then lastly, the third part of that is when I'm ready for my check. And this is a very difficult one for waiters to determine. We study this all the time. You know, sometimes you just have to look for body signs. And do the people seem to be kind of eating slower? Are they kind of enjoying their time? When do I present the check? You know, when do I physically put it on the table? Because if I put it too soon, they're going to think that I'm trying to rush them out of here because I want to, you know, get home or do whatever. But if I'm ready for my check and they're not around, now I'm the customer. I've had a great evening. But where's my check? Where's my waiter? I want to get out of here now. And if it's not there, that could lead to a lower tip. So those three phases are the most critical. There's other things that determine it, but those three phases are really important to the quality of the tip.
Hey, Richard, listen, Leo Honeycutt. My daughter was a waitress for many years all the way up to Delmonico's in New York, where, by the way, one of her...
Oh, great place.
And so she
probably made good money.
Oh, she made very good money, and she demanded that Daddy always pay 20%. So now 20% is mine. I never give less than 20%. But in fact, her regulars were Usher and Donald Trump, and they would routinely, give her $200-$400 tips. So and I realize that that's way off the scale normally, but when you go to these places and you feel like you've gotten really good service, I think 20% is a minimum. But I've never been quite sure. If the timing didn't work out right, if you should actually give the 20, I always do, but I've had people that I've been with have said, I'm not going to give 20%, not for that.
Yep. And again, it's all personable. It's, you know, if you're paying the check, you get to determine the tip.
I also think too that, you know, as the customer, you kind of need to be nice too.
Oh yeah, I think there's acceptable and unacceptable boundaries for guests as well. And, you know, you have to have reasonable expectations of things. You know, when, you know, waiters work really, really hard for their money. I mean, it's physical, it's exhausting, it's mentally challenging trying to juggle so many things at one time. These people are really specialized for the most part, especially at the level that we serve. And so we do everything we can to retain these people for a long time. They do a great job.
Richard, we got to take a little pause. Can you hang on just a couple minutes for me? I got some questions about eating trends. What we're going to eat this fall over at Chamberlain Steakhouse. Hang on here with me. You're talking to Richard Chamberlain. Got a great steak and chop house in Dallas, Texas. He's been on our show before, Chamberlain Steak and Chop House. And I'll tell you how to get a hold of him. It's on our website at radiocommonsense.com. Got some more questions. And when I come back, I want to ask Richard just who gets the tip. If you tip somebody, how's it split up? We'll ask that question right after this message. Freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back.
Where's the tip go? I mean, that goes, they split up amongst them.
Most of them split it up. They pool it. But look, I just noticed, since you're wearing shorts, the cuts on your knees.
Yeah, well, that's from my knee operation.
What's that knot on your...
That's my hip operation. Well, I got a metal hip in there. I got a metal knee.
I just banged against something here.
But see that knot right on your kneecap?
Now
you ran.
You can see this is bigger.
Yeah.
But this is, I got a full knee replacement here. So I've got a big piece of...
So it's titanium?
Yeah, titanium right in there. So that's why this one's bigger. Yeah. So and that slice is from where they put it, and I got this one here. And,
I didn't remember you having... Can you run on that?
I'm not as good as I was just because I'm getting older.
I can tell this all
the
time.
If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. I fall on the track dive for the finish line.
Yeah.
And I have senders in Invokans for years. 30 years.
Caesar, so they finally worked their way out, I guess.
Wow.
You got us. We'll come back with Richard for about half the segment, and then we'll tell you the Columbus story. We'll shut it down.
There's also a story I don't want to give you another NIR subscription that you don't want. This free report, The Miracle of Garlic, your first home medicine. This free report is filled with easy.
They came in, and they had sort of muscled their way in. Other people made reservations.
And more. Plus, I don't know if they pulled the string on what they did, but they got in. It was like 6 or 7 of them.
And they came into the bar area. They put a table together for me in the bar area. And there was other people in there. In fact, there was a family in there having a birthday party. And so they were making pictures, and she said that sort of the ringleader of this was at the end of the table, and he said, stop taking those pictures, you know, we don't want our pictures made. And, you know, it's like, sort of, it soured, and they were drunk, and they were pretty vocal. So Danielle was in there, and she started taking their green corks, and one of the guys reaches over under her skirt and pinches her on the ass.
Back pain doesn't take vacations.
What'd
she do? It never celebrates.
She took her notebook and she sat down at the table and she said, you won't ever do that again.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
And so she went and she told her manager came in and said, y'all, up,
with a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedure.
And they said, you know who we are? He said, I don't care if you're the king. Get up and get out. And when they got up and they had to leave, she said, these other people around the tables all stood up and applauded.
Spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disease.
And to this day, she will not tell me who it is. Because she said, you'll know if you're real. Back.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye.
Of course, I remember we go back to the DeLago days and all those places. The chick would laugh when you did that and expect more tips.
Right.
She said, now I don't want 20%, I want 40%.
That's right. Or the next time you're here with your wife, I'll tell her. Yeah, no. No, that, in fact, that was one of the things the manager said. He said, you realize what kind of lawsuit you just opened us up to.
Removes the slow,
so he said, I can't afford to have you here.
Instead, quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80%.
I just never think to go to Sullivan's because I'm not a steak eater. They got fish, but you and I went there for lunch.
Wayne, what's his face for that?
Yeah, met the basketball coach. And then we went with Skip one time there. And that's the only times I've really been there, Leo. I just don't think to go.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Good time to think about good food. The fall coming in. I want to get some advice on what's good to eat and what's going on in the restaurant business. Richard Chamberlain is joining me. He owns Chamberlain Steak and Chop House in Dallas, has several restaurants in there, one of the premier steakhouses in America. And I got Richard on here with us. Richard, we were talking about tipping earlier. I leave a 20% tip, well, a lot of people are confused as to where that money goes. Does it all go to the waiter? Is it split up into a standard formula in the industry? What happens to the tip you leave?
Yeah, by law, that tip belongs to the waiter that receives it, and that's the way it should be. We want the servers to, you know, really get the money that's intended for them, for the guests, for their hard work and service. The other part of that is the support staff. So you have bus boys that come by and fill water and clear dishes and, you know, do their work. You have bartenders that are preparing drinks and wine and things like that that assist the server. So the servers take their tips and then they decide how much money that they're going to give to the bus boys and bartenders and service staff like that. That's really it's about as simple as it gets.
Well, you mean, but it's just that arbitrary that one person can say, well, I'm going to keep 60% of the tip and give the other 40%, or someone else says, I'm going to keep 80%. It's just that arbitrary on waiter to waiter?
Well, there is every industry has somewhat of a, I guess what you might say is a suggested amount that
right.
A server might give a busboy and a bartender. And so it gives them, you know, sort of a parameter to stay in with their tips. But again, you know, they own their tips by law, and you know, they can pretty much do whatever they want to with them. Most choose to, you know, tip out in a fair way, and everybody, you know, just, you know, shares a portion of their tips as service staff, and it works out really well.
Well, good. I didn't know that. I thought that it was pretty much management's decision as to the tips all go to a pool and they're all split up in a certain way. I didn't know. You say most states have a law that says it belongs to the waiter, huh?
It's a federal law, actually. Yeah. And so some restaurants sort of work outside of the bounds. There are restaurants that have pooling situations. I don't really know how those work as it relates to law, because we don't do that. We believe that if somebody gives a tip to a waiter, that waiter should own that. And that's just, you know, following federal guidelines. You know, from time to time, you also see what's called a service charge in the industry. And a service charge is different from a tip in that a service charge is actually owned by the business that charges it. And they're, you know, they pay taxes on that, they keep it, and then they can distribute it. Example would be if you went to a hotel and you had a Christmas party, and at the end of the bill, there wasn't necessarily a place for a tip, but there was an added on 20% service charge.
Right.
And that hotel, and this is very common in the hotel industry, but that 20% service charge would be owned by the hotel. They would likely keep a portion of it for themselves, and then they would use a portion of that to, give to the staff.
I see, right. Let me jump here with you.
And
I understand. Let me jump with you in the little time we have left. We're into the fall now. Are there trends in restaurants? I know, you know, you serve basic steaks and chops, but in this, in the changing world of what is kind of the end thing for food and eating, and we're in a more health-conscious society, what are you adapting to that with it? Let's say I come in and say, listen, I don't eat meat, but I want something healthy, but also want something that tastes good. Richard, what are you going to recommend to me?
Well, like at my seafood restaurant at Chamberlain's Fish Market Grill, we do in the fall and winter, we do a cioppino. And cioppinos are great because it's kind of it's that beautiful fish stew, and it starts with shrimp and scallops and mussels, and they're all cooked in this beautiful shellfish stock and simmered real slow. And then we also add in like little pieces of sea bass and snapper and things like that. So you get a beautiful combination of both shellfish and fish. It's in a light broth, and so it really just screams of fall and winter, and also very, very healthy. So that's a very, very popular fall item. And then people love, you know, in the fall and winter, people love things like butternut squash. They love Brussels sprouts. They love, you know, all those root vegetables that come in the winter. And that's, you know, so it tends to be our focus in the restaurants. And then on the meat side at the steakhouse, we'll do like beef bolognese, or excuse me, we'll do beef bourguignon. We take pieces of filet mignon that's been aged about 40 days and cook them slowly with wild mushrooms, and serve them over maybe a roasted garlic mashed potato, and that's real, real popular in the fall and winter.
Great. I just gained 3 pounds with you talking about it.
Yeah, darn right. Now, how are you seeing trends of people going out to eat? We live down in a part of the country where people go out to eat a whole lot. Are you finding that that's dropped off in Dallas, or is it staying the same or even growing in terms of the numbers of people that are going out to do fine dining like your restaurant provides?
Oh, no, it's growing like crazy. Dallas has exploded, like many cities have recently, with a lot of new business, a lot of, you know, corporate transfers and things like that. You know, we're just, we have a lot of people moving to this area. And when people move to a new area, like, they like to eat out. They like to try new restaurants. People in Dallas in general eat out a lot. I think we're one of the highest eating out areas in the country to start with. People just enjoy going out. They work hard, and, you know, after dinner, instead of, you know, getting over a hot stove and cooking, they just want to go be served and eat at their favorite restaurant. So The restaurant business is great here in Dallas. We love it. We've been here for 24 years with our steakhouse and 16 years with our fish market grill, and it just keeps growing. Really great place.
Well, that's super. Well, Leo is frothing over the good food suggestions, and I'm anxious to come over. We're going to call you, Richard, and maybe make a special trip over there with our gang to take it all in. We'll be torn as to whether we try the steakhouse or the sea. I'm a seafood guy. Leo's more of a meat guy, so we'll have to come up with the formulas to try them both. So,
but you can bet it'll take Jim 20 minutes to order it.
What I like to do for some guests is we'll do a dine-around. So you'll do two courses at our fish market grill. Drive down the street 2 miles, and then have two courses at our steakhouse. So you get to try both.
Wow. Sounds like a winner. Mm. Rich, thanks for being with us. Your website is chamberlainsteakhouse.com. You can find it on our website at radiocommonsense.com. Hey, Richard, have a great weekend. Hope business continues to go well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thanks.
Take care. Interesting
Bye-bye.
Guy, and then about the whole flow of tipping in the restaurant business. And my wife and her twin sister were in the restaurant business, Leo. And
I remember
I had
well.
A number of, I think, seven cities, if I remember correctly, and had a whole series of pasta called Semolina, the mm-hmm. pasta restaurant, yeah. and very popular. And but you'd have to look at the trends, and you know, constantly work with your people. And restaurant business is tough business.
It is tough because you lose all your nights, weekends, and holidays.
Well, that's right. That's when you make your money.
That's right.
That's when you make your money, but it's rewarding, and I miss it. I had my own table. You know, we come over and confab.
And you never had to pay. That's what you missed.
Well, that's right. That was a big plus. I just signed the tab, and I don't know ever what happened to it. So before we shut down, you were telling me off the air a Columbus story. You had
oh, yeah,
Columbus
yeah,
story.
Yeah. Columbus saved his crew one time. And in fact, it was his last voyage, the fourth voyage to the New World. He got shipwrecked at Jamaica. Hit a hurricane and got shipwrecked in Jamaica. And so the tribal chiefs take them in, take the crew in. They feed them for about a month and a half. And after about a month and a half, and there weren't exactly cabs or anybody coming by to take them back to Spain, the chiefs called Columbus in and said, look, you're going to have to do something with your crew here. Y'all need to make boats and go back home because you're eating us out of house and home, running out of supplies. And so Columbus thought, you know, we're really in trouble here because there's no way off this island. And he had remembered that a German astronomer had talked about eclipses and how he had predicted the eclipses. And so he remembered there was an eclipse coming up, a lunar eclipse. So he calls the tribal chiefs together one night and says, let's have a meeting to talk about this over a fire. So they put out a big bonfire, and they sit there, and they say, okay, Columbus, what you got? And he says, you know what? I can determine whether the moon stays lit. And just about that time, sure enough, the eclipse started. And after that, the tribal chief said, you know what? Anything you need, Columbus, anything, whatever's ours is yours.
Shows you what astronomy.
Shows you what knowledge will do.
That's right. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, we're out of time, Leo. Thanks for being with us on the show again. LeoHoneycutt.net for some great writing of Leo's various books. And our show is RadioCommonSense.com. We will see you same time, same station next week. We'll be here with more guests, more good times, and more common sense. Take care, Leo. Have a good weekend.
You too.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
What's for dinner today? Tired of cooking the same old meals? Could I offer a suggestion? What about Cajun? That's right, Cajun. But wait, I know what you're thinking. Never tried it, don't know how, don't have all the ingredients. Well, I got some good news for you. Cajun Mike, host of Cooking with Cajun, has put together a step-by-step instructional video, along with the recipes on how to cook these iconic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and over 150 Cajun and Creole recipes. And it's now available to you. Just think, you can now cook the same dishes that are served in some of the finest restaurants in New Orleans. And listen to this. He will also deliver all the ingredients right to your doorstep. So what are you waiting for? To order your personalized instructional video along with the recipes, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. To order your home delivery, call 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. Yahee! And bon appetit!
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health.
To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.